In London, forensic experts are still working round the clock to identify all of the 54 people who were killed in last week's bombings. So far, they've identified 41 bodies. When we report on stories such as that one, we take for granted the idea that people's bodies can be identified with certainty, not just by their clothing or by their fingerprints, but by their DNA. We can also link criminals to victims or to evidence, and we can link people to their biological relatives. All this began just over 20 years ago in England. And recently, I spoke with the man who discovered the DNA fingerprint. He is Sir Alec Jeffreys. He was subsequently knighted for his work. He is a geneticist at the University of Leicester, just as he was in 1984, when he was conducting a DNA experiment that had nothing to do with identifying individuals.
The last thing on my mind was identification and forensics and paternity cases and all the rest of it. What we're interested in doing back in those early days of human molecular genetics was just trying to find out some basic information about inherited variation in our DNA. And it's purely by accident in those studies that we generated, totally out of the blue, what proved to be the very first DNA fingerprint. And that emerged, I remember it very clearly, this was a real eureka moment. It happened at 9:05 on the morning of Monday, the 10th of September, 1984. That was the split second in time when my life completely and utterly changed. So that very first DNA fingerprint, which I can see in front of me right now on the wall of my office, I still have the original, a very murky, grubby bit of X-ray film, but on that we could see what appeared to be pretty variable and informative patterns of DNA. Purely by chance, we had a family group on there, one of my technicians and a mother and father. Not only that we could tell those three people apart, but we could see how the technician's pattern was a composite of some of Mum's and some of Dad's characters. And on that very first test, I mean, we just had a set of DNAs plucked at random, really. So we had not only people, but I think we had a mouse and a rat. We had a baboon. We had a cow. We even had tobacco, believe it or not. And to my amazement, not only did this work on people, it worked on absolutely everything else as well. And it was having seen this very first pattern, the penny dropped almost immediately, within a minute. I suddenly realized, wait a minute, we're looking here potentially at DNA-based biological identification.
Now, this eureka moment, you had discovered something that you had not set out to discover.
Absolutely not. And I think if we had been charged with the task of inventing DNA fingerprinting, let's suppose some remarkably prescient funding agency 2 years previously had said, okay, come up with a method for individualizing people using their DNA, we would have been totally stumped. We wouldn't have known where to go. And this happens all too often in science, that basic discoveries then lead either directly or after a while to applications. But the driver behind the discovery is basic scientific curiosity, not a desire to solve a particular medical or social problem. And that was certainly true for DNA fingerprinting.
The first great arena of applying your discovery was forensic, and also establishing paternity. I guess it remains as such today.
My feeling was that, yeah, this might have a specialist niche, and it would probably take 10 years before this ever moved into real casework. I couldn't have been more wrong. Our first case, and this was following publicity of our first scientific paper on this, the write-up in one of the national newspapers in England was spotted by a lawyer who was representing a family trapped in an immigration dispute. So not paternity, not a criminal case. This is an immigration dispute. And in fact, it was that case that we were asked to take on, which we did, which represented the very first time ever that DNA was ever used to sort out a problem of that sort.
This was a boy from Ghana.
That's exactly right, yeah.
And the question that you answered with DNA was?
Well, the problem was that this family, originally from Ghana, they were UK citizens. The youngest boy in the family went back to Ghana and then returned after a while to the UK on a passport that had been tampered with. So as he came back into the UK, this was picked up by the immigration authorities, and the assumption was that the returning boy was a substitute, either for a boy unrelated to the family or for one of the mother's nephews. So when we set out on this, I thought, this is Mission Impossible, we'll never do this. We did the DNA fingerprinting, and the results are just, I mean, absolutely stunning. I was amazed. Basically, we used three undisputed children in that family to reconstruct the DNA fingerprint of the missing father and then show for the boy in dispute that every genetic characteristic matched either mum or the missing dad. So we could rule out even the possibility that he was a nephew rather than the son to this woman with better than 99.999 whatever percent certainty. So that's what really started the whole story. That was the very first case. And happy outcome. The British authorities dropped the case against the boy. He was allowed back permanently into the UK as a UK citizen. And the family was held together. Wonderful story.
When the penny dropped, and when it was clear to you that each of us indeed could be identified by something about our DNA, and it could identify our relations to other people, did you think, oh, brave new world, life is going to get a lot better as a result of this, or there's a genie that just got out of a bottle that poses great harm to humanity? What did you think?
I don't think I thought too much about that. I mean, I think I was much more concerned would anybody take a blind bit of notice in the work that we were doing. Once the genie was out of the bottle, what it was being used for example, that immigration dispute. This is a family threatened with being broken apart by an immigration dispute that we brought back together. Shortly after that, we were inundated with similar requests. Many, many families in the UK trapped in exactly the same sort of problem. This was science, very clear societal good. So that, in a way, sort of reassured me that this was science where all technology has an upside and a downside. The upside on this was strong. The downside was vague concerns way in the future, possibly about Big Brother, civil liberties, and all the rest. But I think if you look back then and look now at the totality of forensic DNA testing, it's absolutely for the good.
Well, Professor Alec Jeffries, Sir Alec Jeffries, thank you very much for talking with us today.
It's my pleasure talking. Thank you.
Alec Jeffries is a professor of genetics. He spoke with us from his lab at the University of Leicester. His discovery of the DNA fingerprint 2 decades ago made DNA profiling and testing possible.